welcome to you, warm welcome. And I know Neil has been testing out the heaters and is now sitting near one because he's feeling the cold. It's a cold morning, but it's good to see you all. You've got the reserve team today. We've got a reserve on the desk at the back operating the computer. And we've got a reserve at the front standing in for Helen. One of the girls has COVID, Caitlin. And so Helen, although she'll be preaching, and she's very welcome because she's here on Zoom, she will be preaching to us later on, but she stayed at home, obviously, with the girls. And Natalie will be taking part in the service later on as well. A very warm welcome too, to visitors with us this morning. Lovely to see you. When I was at school, a long time ago, not when I was grown up at school, when I was still a pupil at school, one of the things we had to learn was Psalm 121. And I guess that may not just be me, it may be some of you had to learn it as well. The psalm that begins, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it's that Lord that we have come to praise this morning. Here and now, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, is our first hymn this morning. So, Marion.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. All my soul praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
was the verses that I didn't recognise. What about you? I sang that hymn at school. I remember singing it. I must have been about 11 at the time. And we sang that hymn in a school hymn, school assembly of 1,000 boys, all singing it. And we were made to sing. We weren't allowed to stand idly by. We had to sing. But there were some verses there that I don't remember. But others that I do remember very, very well. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let's pray together. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that we can come before you this morning to offer you our worship and our praise. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Lord, we praise you and we marvel at the universe that you've displayed around us. Lord, we cannot fully understand it, although we seek to. Lord, you put it all together, all its wonder and all its beauty. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And we come before you this morning knowing that you will be here in our midst, that you will bless each one of us as we sing your praises and as we hear your word. Lord, bless us each one, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now it comes to family news. And I've got the only microphone, so do I need to rush around and collect together family news? Anyone got any family news?
I've got my own microphone.
Hello.
Can I just say something? Hello, everyone. It's nice to see you. I can see the back of people's heads. You can't see me at all. So, you know, I've got a bit of an advantage there.
Just
a quick one. During the sermon today, I make a suggestion that people might choose to draw pictures. No. If anyone's into doing that kind of thing, drawing a picture or doing some doodling, there is paper and pens on the kids' table at the back. Feel free to go and get some if you want to take part in that way. You don't have to. You can just stay sitting and listen. It's fine.
Let's pray for all of our people, including the people that we've heard about this morning. Lord, we do praise you and thank you that you answer prayer. Lord, as Neil said, he prayed for himself unusually, because he prays for other people when they're ill, but not for himself. But this time he prayed for himself because he had a problem. Lord, we praise you and thank you that that growth seems to have gone. Lord, we pray that it might stay gone. Lord, with your healing power, Lord, we know that you can bless Neil and continue to bless him and keep him safe. And Lord, for all these other people that we've mentioned this morning, we pray. We do praise you for each one of them, but we know that you answer prayer. And so, Lord, we lay these people before you and ask for your blessing upon them. And your hand will be their comfort, I'm sure. Lord, we praise you for your healing powers. Lord, help these people, we pray. And Lord, we continue to pray for our world. We pray for the COVID outbreak that there is. Lord, we pray that worldwide it might be overcome. Lord, only you know. So Lord, we leave it in your hands. And Lord, where there are wars and rumors of wars, we pray that you will be there too, that you will guide the politicians as they tiptoe around issues like the issue of Russia amassing troops on the Ukrainian border. Lord, at this time, we bring that situation before you. Lord, we pray that there will be wisdom for the politicians, that they might do the right thing and avert a catastrophe. And Lord, for our own government, we pray. They're in some difficulty at the moment, well, the Prime Minister is anyway. Lord, we pray that you will help in this situation. Lord, you will give guidance and wisdom. Lord, we don't know the answer. We don't know the outcome. We do know that we need your wisdom and your guidance. Lord, help, we pray. And Lord, coming closer to home, we pray for your church here, that your blessing will be upon it. Lord, we've been hit this morning by a touch of the COVID. And so we're not formatted quite as usual. But Lord, we do thank you that we can still meet together, we can still rejoice before you, and still rejoice in your name. And Lord, for your church all over the world, we pray that it might indeed be a great witness to you in these difficult times. Lord, for your guidance and your wisdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Helen is going to read to us from Mark chapter 4, the verses 23-27. Helen.
Hello. Sorry, just looking them up. I don't know where that went from. I don't know where my numbers went wrong. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, verses 35-41. And if that's not what comes up on the screen, just blank the screen off and listen. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And again, I apologise if I gave you the wrong numbers.
Yes, I was just going to say this. I certainly quoted the reading that's on my sheet of paper that Helen gave me. Anyway, you heard the word there, and you heard of the power of Jesus in that reading. We're going to sing a couple of songs now. "Blessed be the name of the Lord, and be bold, be strong." And even though there are not many of us, we can be bold, we can be strong, and we can bless the name of the Lord. Come.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Christ's throne tower, the righteous cry into it, and they are saved. Glory to the name of the Lord, glory to the name of the Lord, glory to the name of the Lord, most high. Glory to the name of the Lord, glory to the name of the Lord, glory to the name of the Lord, most high. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Strong tower, the righteous run into it, they are saved. Holy is the name of the Lord, holy is the name of the Lord, holy is the name of the Lord, most high. Holy is the name of the Lord. Is the name of the Lord, holy is the name of the Lord, most high. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, most high. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, most high.
Straight on to be bold, be strong.
Jenny.
Yeah.
Be bold, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, no, no, no. I am not dismayed, not me. Walking in faith and victory. Come on, walk in faith and victory. For the Lord your God is with you. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid,
no, no, no.
I am not dismayed,
not me.
I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on, walk in faith and victory. For the Lord your God is with you.
And now, Natalie is going to read to us from Psalm 46.
From Psalm 46. Oh, have you unmuted?
I've unmuted.
Oh. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. For its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God is Jacob. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you, Natalie. Well done. And now we're going to sing again. Our next song is the one we heard right at the beginning. O God, our help in ages past. Science is able to join us from home. Helen.
Is it not on there?
I hope Helen is able to join us.
Is it there's a sun on that now?
I'll sit down out of the way anyway.
It's the next video, Marion.
I'll clip.
Hi guys, sorry I can't be with you this morning. I hope that this works out okay and you can hear me preaching to you on the computer. I am at home recording this and the dog is being a bit of a pain. So if you hear her barking, I'm sorry about that. But we're having our second session on the Psalms this morning. I very rarely preach on the Psalms, and I'll tell you why. Firstly, because I like to generally say something a bit new and a bit interesting, and the Psalms are quite difficult in that respect. They're so clear in general, so obvious in what they're talking about, that I'm not quite sure sometimes what I can bring to the study of them. And secondly, because they're poetry. And when we take poetry and strip it apart and analyse it, sometimes it seems to lose something. But I hope we can also gain something. So let's give it a go. You'll realise if you look at the Book of Psalms that they come in many different types and styles, as Rini said last week. Praises, lament, songs of celebration, songs of kingship, songs for use of various festivals and by various people. And that's why we're having a few different services on them, to try and cover a bit of a spectrum. Rini spoke last week on some Psalms of David. I'll do this week, and a friend of mine from college will come in a few weeks' time and finish off for us. But before we get into this psalm in particular, I want to draw your attention to a couple of features of Hebrew poetry that might help us to read not just this psalm, but the psalms in general. The first thing you'll notice about the psalms is their use of imagery and metaphor. We'll come back to it later, but we can see that the psalmist presents various pictures to our minds to illustrate his point. So poetic imagery is important. Second, the distinguishing feature of Hebrew poetry is parallelism. And we'll come back to that next week when we look at Proverbs, but throughout the Psalms and throughout the Bible in various places is this poetic device of stating something on one line and then reiterating it in some way on the next. And a recognition of that can really help our understanding and appreciation of this type of writing. And thirdly, the most hidden, or even I could say lost, aspect of Hebrew poetry that we find in some but not all of the Psalms is the acrostic, where each line or verse starts with a different letter. The most famous one is Psalm 119, which runs right through the Hebrew alphabet, with each stanza beginning with the next letter. But let's turn our attention to Psalm 46. It begins, as many of the Psalms do, with an instruction. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. We don't often pick up on those bits, but they're worth knowing about. Obviously, this is a song given to the musical director. That all makes sense. The sons of Korah bit refers to one of the musical guilds in the temple. Either they wrote it or they were the ones who were going to use it when they led worship. But the phrase to Alamoth is completely unknown. There's a suggestion that it might be a tune. There's another suggestion that the word relates to the word for young women, making it the only psalm specifically designated to being sung by women. And that's a suggestion that I want to pick up on. I'm hoping to use my girls to read it this morning. Because although it doesn't take away from the straightforward meaning of the psalm, I wonder if it brings something to our understanding to think of it as being sung, not from a position of strength, but from a position of weakness, a position of minority and helplessness. So Psalm 46, I think this psalm works on two levels. On the first level, it's a psalm about war. There's a suggestion that it fits in with the book of Isaiah and the story of King Hezekiah being attacked by the vast Assyrian army, with Jerusalem under siege, surrounded. The sense of being a little helpless country surrounded by these nations at war, threatening to engulf you. The mountains and the seas, images of the power and danger of their surroundings. However much they huff and puff, are unable to break Israel because God is with them. God is in control. The first part of the psalm speaks about a general confidence in God. The second part, a particular experience of that confidence in the deliverance of the city. And that confidence is seen most clearly towards the end of the psalm, where we see the nations in uproar and God melting the earth with just his voice. We see him stepping in to break the bow and shatter the spear, to enforce peace on the earth, making himself known to these violent neighbours as well as to Israel themselves. so that they too will recognise him and praise him. It gives hope. But there's a second level that I want to concentrate on. Although the Psalms are inspired by a particular circumstance, they're not limited to that circumstance. So, for example, Psalm 51 was inspired by David's expression of remorse after his adultery with Bathsheba. Verse 2 says, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." It doesn't say, "Cleanse me from my sin of adultery," because it isn't written to be limited to that circumstance, to that situation, but to be used anywhere in which someone finds themselves repentant for sin. And in a similar way, Psalm 46 isn't limited to those occasions when we're in a city under siege from military forces in foreign nations, but in any situations in which we're threatened, afraid, overwhelmed. And that's the way in which we can read this psalm as an encouragement to ourselves today. As I said earlier, these psalms are full of imagery. So we're going to read through this psalm now. And as we read it, I want us to focus on those images that come to our minds. Maybe if you're feeling creative, take a piece of paper and a pen and draw out something that jumps out at you in it. I'm going to read through the verses and just say a little bit as we go. I'll try to keep it calm and slow, and I encourage you not just to listen to me, but to listen to God. What is God saying to you through this? So let's read the psalm together. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I don't know about you, but my picture at that point is that strong tower we sang about earlier. That place to go to when things get difficult. That will not fail us, but is always there. And yet I wonder whether he's more than just a place to run to shut the trouble out. Is our strength to face it. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. That picture of the troubles and storms about us, the ground shifting beneath our feet, the waves rising up in noise and agitation, threatening to overwhelm us. In that picture of the tremendous power of nature turning against us, can't we almost feel the terror it would cause? Yet the psalmist asserts, we will not fear. There are troubles, almost overwhelming troubles, but we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and our strength in those troubles. Even if I go back to what I said earlier, for the weakness and helplessness of a female in a male-dominated world, in our weakness, we will not be afraid. On that confidence, the psalmist moves to a much more positive view. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Except that there is no major river in Jerusalem. So again, we're left with a picture rather than a reality. It's a picture not uncommon in the Old Testament, but one that's not entirely straightforward, because the streams flow into the river and the river flows out into the world. It happens in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, where the streams water the land and flow outward. It happens in Ezekiel, where the river flows out from the temple. It happens in Zechariah, who prophesies the living water flowing out from Jerusalem. The water symbolizes the presence, blessing, refreshing, life-giving of God. So these streams, these myriad ways of God working within the city and making it glad, go on to flow out into the world around. And what is the city? The holy place where the Most High dwells. But God's dwelling place is with us. Within us, his people, his team. Not only will God care for us in trouble, but God's work within us and around us will make us glad and will flow out into the world. Still on the city, the psalmist continues, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And again, that's a great promise of the strength and upholding of God, isn't it? Perhaps for me as a female, I have to confess that the feminine pronoun helps me. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her. If I am part of the city of God, if God dwells within me, I will not fall because he will help me whatever is going on around me. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. A picture of the city standing on the world around. A refuge, a hope, a strength. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. These things around, whether these nations that have threatened to overwhelm Israel in their military action, or the troubles we face in our lives, they're destined for God's destruction. He is able to enforce peace and he's willing to do so. As we come to the end of the psalm, we come to an often quoted verse, or at least we often quote one line of it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How often do we read or hear those words? Be still and know that I am God. In your picturing, I wonder how you might picture that sentence being spoken. It's God speaking. Do you picture it as God speaking to you? Do you picture it as God holding you like a child? Hush, I'm here. It'll be okay. Do you picture it comforting, quieting, peaceful? Is it akin to Jesus, come to me and I will give you rest? Feel free to do that. The knowledge that God is God should give us that reassurance and comfort. But unfortunately, that's not what this is saying in this passage. God isn't comforting and reassuring. He's not offering us an opportunity to be still. God is commanding. If we want to liken it to a New Testament passage, we need to liken it to Jesus out on the boat in the storm saying to the wind and the waves, be still. If we want to liken it to a parent and a child, we need to liken it to me yelling at the kids, shut up. God says, shut up. I am God. Does he say it to us in our anxiety about the troubles we're facing? Does he say it to our minds in their whirlwind of emotion? Stop. Sit down, listen to me. Is he telling us off for getting worked up into a state, promising us that he's in control? Or does he say it to those troubles around us, to the storms of our lives? Stop bothering them. Recognize that I am God. It reminds me of Jesus' encounters with demons. What would it look like if those things that trouble us would acknowledge that God is God? It would look like the wind and the waves obeying him. It would look like the surrounding chaos ceasing its uproar, its fighting, its threats at his command, exalting the God who has broken its power. What is it in your life that needs to know that God is God? What troubles roar and rage about you and threaten to overwhelm you? Let's call on God to step in, to put his foot down and command, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted throughout the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Lord, the world around us is so often difficult. Thank you for this psalm that promises that we need not be afraid. As our troubles, like those waters, roar and foam about us, as the earth shakes beneath our feet, would you say, be still? Would you plant our feet on a firm foundation? May we know the living waters of your grace and peace running through our lives and out to the world around us as we acknowledge your presence with us. May your voice ring out against those things that threaten to overwhelm us. Enough, be still. Would you be our strength and our fortress in all that we face? In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I will leave you to sing your final hymn.
No, it can do. Yeah, it doesn't matter. No. Yeah. No, I'm never going to the blue.
Yeah. He is Lord, Lord of all. Lord, as we come to the end of our service this morning, we pray for your blessing upon us. Lord, that you will continue with us during this coming week, that we will continue to hold you as the Lord, our Lord, and Lord of all. Be with us each one in Jesus' name. Now let's join together in saying the grace to one another. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, and evermore. Amen. Amen.